Always welcome some good Linkin Park coming back from break here in hour number two of Chris Thomas Tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. If you haven't done so, please go vote on the poll at CT Tonight. 929 is where you'll find it, along with all of our other show info. So please go give the show account a follow if you have not already at CT Tonight. 929. The question's simple. James Pierce Jr. has been a catalyst at camp so far this season for the Falcons, getting into skirmishes, setting the tone on defense, being a disruptor, making a ton of plays. Love it, love it, love it. So will he be the defensive catalyst for the Falcons this season? Yes, he will set the tone, or no, it will be somebody else. And there's a lot of good options to choose from. Jesse Bates, Caden Ellis, David Onyemata, A.J. Terrell. There's a lot of guys that we have that could be tone setters. But James Pierce Jr. as a rookie, could he be that guy? Orange, 70% right now are saying yes. They are buying into the James Pierce Jr. hype.
There you go.
How about that? Love it. I think this kid could be special, man. 404-726-0929. We'll take more of your calls coming up on that in just a little bit. Last night, Oren, I gave my Fantastic Four review on the show.
You did, spoiler-free.
Had a lot of people hit me up on Twitter again, at CT Tonight, 929. I gave it an 8.5 out of 10.
Good score.
Not good enough for some people.
Though. Oh, no.
I got a couple of people in the comments that were like, Turtle, this movie was perfect. Were you giving it a... Guys, you know what a 9 or a 10 is on the scale of movies? That's like
The Godfather.
It's like The Godfather.
Goodfellas, like that, yeah.
Training Day. Like, that's like all-time great movies. Fantastic Four is not an all-time great movie. I gave it an 8.5.
But 8.5 is still a pretty damn.
8.5 is really strong. That's about as good as a superhero movie is gonna be. Like Endgame, okay. I give that was a 10. That was chef's kiss. Mwah. That was absolutely perfect. But, you know, again, 10 is all-time great movie. You know, Titanic. Again, Godfather, Goodfellas. I throw a movie like Training Day in there. When you talk about just masterpiece movies, I mean, Casablanca. I mean, Gone with the Wind. Those are 10s, in my opinion. You're not going to get maybe one or two, but a superhero movie to be a 10 or even a 9. Is crazy. And I'll put Endgame in there. I'll put Spider-Man, No Way Home in there. Infinity War I'll throw in there. The first Black Panther I'll throw in there. Not much else to get a 9 or a 10. That's just how I think about it. If you guys disagree, that's fine. And certainly, Oren, I am not putting Happy Gilmore 2 into that category.
Don't let somebody hear you say that.
Oh, my goodness. That is, you know what's funny? All the podcasts I listen to that are national and from other markets, like I check in with my guys from New York back home, they've talked about it. I check in, I listen to, I'm a big Dan Le Batard fan. I listen to his show. They've talked about it.
Infinity Sports, Bart Winkler last night also talked about how he wasn't the biggest fan of it.
Here's the thing, and then we'll get to some true false NFL questions. It really depends on your taste in comedy. Some people, a lot of people, because all of these movies do well, and he's been making them for 25, 30 years, like slapsticky, beat you over the head with it, in-your-face type funny, which is what Happy Gilmore is. So if you like that type of movie, Waterboy, Happy Gilmore, Back to School, like all those type of movies, okay, that's great. And that's what you think is funny. I don't like that type of comedy. Like, the Naked Gun movie is about to come out. And by the way, Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson are reportedly dating now. How about that?
Okay, Liam, go ahead, buddy.
She's the star of the movie along with him. And apparently he was able to put that funny on her on and off the screen. Stance she's taking right now about makeup is very interesting. She's going with the au naturel look these days. She's doing like a, I was the, the vixen, the blonde bombshell back in the day, and I had all this makeup and my hair done, and you know, all these outfits, and now she's rocking a completely conservative, you know, hair in a ponytail, no makeup, like these dresses that like are very non,
the very natural look.
Yeah, is. Like not, it doesn't show anything. It's just a very interesting turn from the way she was, you know, when she was doing Baywatch back in the 90s. But Liam Neeson apparently could care less. And he was like, hey, man, that's Pam Anderson. That's a sex icon. So I'm going to go after that. And good for Liam. But again, that movie, the point is, that movie, I don't have any interest in seeing it. Because I don't think that type of humor to me is particularly funny. But again, a lot of people do. And I'm probably in the minority. But again, just not for me. All right, with that said, let's get to five true and false questions.
All righty, sir. Browns owner Jimmy Haslam did some talking today.
Oh, he sure did.
He did some talking along the same vein of owners who should not be saying anything.
So he is now, you know, they say everything comes in threes.
He's the third
owner now. It's Jerry Jones, Mike Brown, and now him.
Oh, Jimmy Haslam. Jimmy Haslam. Got a couple of questions, though, related to Jimmy Haslam and the Browns. Question number one. He mentioned that Andrew Berry, GM, that Shedeur Sanders pick, that was all him.
Mm-hmm.
He had nothing to do with that pick.
Sure.
Whatsoever.
Yep.
So true or false, game one, week one for the Cleveland Browns, the starting quarterback will be, drum roll, Dylan Gabriel. True or false?
I'm going to say true. I think they like him over there. Apparently he's doing really well in practices, and is there a point to starting Joe Flacco? Like, really? Is there a point to starting Kenny Pickett? Really? I mean, you're not going to be good this year, so you might as well see if Gabriel's got anything, right? And from all accounts, Orin, Shedeur is not doing anything over there. Like, literally, he's barely getting any reps, so it's hard for him to catch on right now. So I'm actually going to say true. I think he will be, and I think either Pickett or Flacco gets moved.
Question number two, related to question number one, which number will be higher in 20? Excuse me, not which number. I'm sorry, that's not a true false question. This number is going to be higher than the other number. James Pierce will have more sacks in 2025 than Shedeur Sanders has game started. True or false?
True. I don't think Shedeur's going to play. I think they're going to stash him this year. I think they view him as a developmental project. That's everything I'm reading, because I'm trying to keep up with this stuff from our sister station in Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan. It just seems like he's like Orny's just not ready. So that's going to be the case, and that's going to be what he's dealing with this year. And I think that that's fine. Sit a year, learn on the sideline on a bad football team, and maybe next year if Gabriel's not the guy, but he's not getting enough reps right now to be ready to play NFL games, Orin. So I'm going to say true. I'm going to say Pierce has, you know, 5-6 sacks as a rookie, and that's going to be way more than Shedeur. I'm going to say Shedeur Sanders doesn't start a game.
Okay. My last Jimmy Haslam question right here. He mentioned that the Browns are not in the Arch Manning sweepstakes, mainly because Arch is not going to come out until 2027. True or false? Arch Manning does not enter the draft in 2026, but he waits until after his senior year at Texas, 2027, to enter the NFL draft.
Okay, let's do a little exercise here. Off the rip for you, Orin, what quarterbacks is he going up against this year that are going to be coming out that would be high profile? Drew Aller?
Carson Beck?
Cade Klubnik? Yeah, there's a couple of guys that could, if they have good, if Cade Klubnik has a really good year, he's going to be right there. Drew Aller, I don't know
got all the buzz coming into last season.
And I don't know about that. And there's probably a couple other guys we haven't named either. And then the year after that, I have no idea. So
Garrett Nussmeier.
Garrett Nussmeier.
If Lenoris comes out, Lenoris Sellers of South Carolina.
You think Lenoris is an NFL quarterback?
He's got all the traits and tools. He's got the size and the athletic ability. He's got a big arm. It's just a matter of all those things are intriguing in the same way that all NFL GMs find those things intriguing. But it's a matter of if you draft that guy, you know, how do you put it all together?
By the way, did you see, speaking of SEC quarterbacks, our guy DJ Lagway might be dealing with a little something going on.
A boot?
Yeah.
As the camp for Florida starts.
Das Boot. Not no bueno.
not no good at all. So
whatever language you want to say it in, it's not good right now. No, I'm going to say he still comes out this year, and he is the number one overall pick.
All righty. Question number four. This broke about 20 minutes ago. Trey Hendrickson going to end his holdout and is going to report to Bengals camp as a sign of good faith in hopes that the negotiations will continue and you eliminate those $50,000 a day fines, which they can no longer kind of waive. They're in the, I guess, the new CBA, like the, once they're out there, you got to pay them somehow, some way. True or false? He's going to report to camp, but he's going to be a hold in.
Yeah, because he can't risk his body, right? On the verge before, like before he signs that contract, you think he's gonna put himself out there to get hurt in pads? Have a 350-pound offensive lineman fall on his ankle? No, he's gonna report, as you said, a sign of good faith. But that dude is not dropping one rivulet of sweat on that practice field until he gets his money.
Yeah, or if he sweats, it's gonna be because it's hot outside and not because he's doing the work.
Yes.
All right, final question. Saw this on CBS Sports. Tyler Sullivan did a list of the NFL's biggest wild cards coming into the 2025 season. At number 10 on that list, none other than Falcons quarterback Michael Penix Jr.
Really?
True or false? Michael Penix Jr. is a wild card headed into the 2025 season.
I think the only way you can call him a wild card is, like, just how successful can he be? Like, I don't think you're calling him a wild card based on the borderline of is he going to be good or not. I think it's how good can he be. Is he going to be more of a game manager or is he going to become a star quarterback right away, right? I mean, am I wrong? Is anybody out there still questioning if Michael Penix Jr. is going to be good? It's a matter of how good, right? I would hope so anyway. Don't tell me that, Oren. I don't want to hear that. I thought we were past that.
That's apparently this is what the prognosticators and the analysts out there.
You know what? This one right here seems to think so. You know what? I have Tyler Sullivan's number. He's been a guest on Dukes and Bell before. I may have to send him a little text.
Have him on? Have a conversation?
No. Just scold him.
Just scold him. Send him, hey, Tyler. Bad list.
Yeah. Come on, bro. What you trying to stir the pot in Atlanta for? Come on, bro. 404-726-0929. Coming up next, the general manager of the Falcons stopped by the radio station. You'll hear from Terry Fontenot exclusively on your home for the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Very cool earlier today. Terry Fontenot, GM of the Atlanta Falcons, stopped by the morning shift. So on Chris Thomas Tonight Turtle, as I promised, anything that happens at Flowery Branch that you missed during the day, I got you. I'm going to play all the interviews. You're going to hear all the players, all the exclusive stuff and commentary right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You don't have to worry about it. I got you. So Terry Fontenot did join the morning shift earlier today. And the first thing the guys asked him was, you know, going into year five, reflecting on everything that's happened so far, just how awesome is it to be the GM of the Atlanta Falcons?
Man, it is. It's such a blessing. It's really cool. And you just said it with those types of guys that when you're proud to see your kids and people wearing those jerseys, because it's not just about what they are on the field. But, I mean, who doesn't want their son to grow up to be like Bijan Robinson?
Right.
Or Chris Lindstrom or Jalen Walker. I mean, Jesse Bates, like these guys are unbelievable. And so whenever you have – we see what they are on the field. We know the vision we have for this team and how they're all going to connect to it, and we're excited about that part of it. But they're unbelievable human beings, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Well, and the jerseys are the cool part, you know, getting to see that kind of stuff. But what kind of challenges do you face that maybe the average fan wouldn't realize about managing a roster year-round?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's tough because, Allie, at the end of the day, we're at 90 right now. Actually, we're at 91. And every player that's here is here for a purpose, whether it was a coach or a scout, or everybody's here for a reason. There's mm-hmm. nobody that just randomly shows up here. And we got to cut this thing down to initially 53, and then we can build back up with the practice squad and the international player to 70. But that's hard. that's really challenging, because the other thing we're doing is we're also looking outside the building at the other 31. We constantly work out players. We had the DJ Chark in here, and so there's good players that are available on the street. There's good players on other rosters that, as we anticipate, could get cut or we could possibly trade for. So we got to get the right 53, the right 70 to go through the season with, at least to start the season on the right way. And so that's hard, because we're going to have some tough conversations here at some point.
They're joined by the GM of the Atlanta Falcons, Terry Fontenot, here on the morning shift live from Flowery Branch, training camp day 4, I believe. That's funny that you said exactly what you just said, because we were talking earlier about what we wanted to talk to you about. And I was like, well, I want to ask him, because like DJ Chark is signed on what? Their off day. Yeah. What's it like day-to-day for you, training camp? Because we kind of think that when you get to training camp, you've done most of your job. You gave Raheem 91 players. All right, you go do what you got to do. But what's it like? Because you're having to monitor. You're having to work out these guys. So, like, the day-to-day operation of training camp for Terry Fontenot is like what?
Yeah, so like, for example, yesterday we met with the pro staff going through the preseason scouting process and everything that entails, and because we have to be experts on the other 31 teams. And before you know it, these games are going to start. So, and there's going to be a massive cut. So how are we evaluating these players? How are we anticipating the guys that are going to be available via trade? So we're going through, talking through that process. Sitting down with the coaches yesterday as well and going through the roster. Again, we talked about it. We have tough decisions to make on all these guys, and there's so many factors. So we're talking to the coaches about how the guys are picking things up. We're talking to the player performance group, the athletic trainers, and it's a holistic approach in terms of how we're evaluating things, because like we said, it's not just about the player and what's happening on the field. It's about everything in the total picture. So we're meeting, and we have to be experts on our roster and then be experts on the other 31 as well. So every single day is truly targeted at that.
And I imagine your phone has to be on you, because if anything happens in another camp, you know, you never know, you might get a phone call.
Yeah.
I mean, your phone's going to be blowing up just talking to other scouts and GMs, right?
Absolutely. And again, our pro staff does an awesome job of, because we're all, I'm communicating with the GMs and they're communicating with scouts and agents in other areas. So that's a big part of it.
I want to follow up on that as well, because there was a moment I was jealous, and you were doing an interview with Andy and Randy leading up to the draft. I don't know if you remember this or not. All right, in the middle of this interview, your phone rings, and it was a GM.
Yeah.
And you showed Andy. You wouldn't tell it on the radio. You're like, you know who that is?
Has he shared that?
No. And I texted him immediately. No, I was like, who was it? He was like, not telling, man. Not telling. Circle of trust. And look, hey, if your phone rings, just show it to me. That's all I'm saying, okay? Phone rings at any point in this interview, just show it to me. But how often does that happen? Like, when would you say is the last time you spoke to another personnel person from another NFL team? Is it on a daily basis? Is it every few days? When's the last time you talked to, like, another NFL GM?
Yeah, not always on a daily basis. It was probably a couple days ago when I talked to another GM. But what will happen is, especially when we get into after the first preseason game, that's when things really ramp up. That's when the conversations really accelerate. And, again, our pro staff does such a good job of making sure we know exactly what's going on in those other buildings. We know the players that we're looking at in those other buildings. We know what we anticipate, so they can be productive conversations.
Yeah.
Well, and we are joined by Falcons General Manager Terry Fontenot right now on the morning shift. How much of your job is evaluating talent versus personality and locker room chemistry?
Yeah, it's all that. Like I said, we have a holistic approach. And when you have guys in this locker room, and I know, Mike, you'll appreciate this, and you have this locker room and you're looking at the Chris Lindstroms and Jake Matthews and Jesse Bates and Bijan, all these unbelievable people, I can keep going. What we have to do is we have to make sure we're adding to the culture. And it's not – we don't want to let those guys down and bring in somebody that doesn't fit that. Now, it goes both ways. And they want to look next to a guy and say, okay, we can trust this guy. Mm-hmm. But also we got to be able to trust him to do his job and help us to be an effective football team. And so we have to make sure that we're bringing in the right guys. But then also, like I said, we have a holistic approach. And part of this is development. Sometimes it's helping people with life skills. Sometimes it's helping people on the field. But whatever it is, we have to help develop them and get them to where they need to be. But they have to have the right mindset.
Mindset's everything. I can imagine you're probably like, hey, James Pierce, like, what was that fight all about out there? Hey, man, I told everybody you were going to fit the culture. Why are you fighting people? No, man, and look, I was the same way as him when I got out here trying to make a name for myself as well. I want to kind of piggyback on her question, because one of the things we've talked about has been the defensive line group. Obviously, not just the edge guys that you drafted back in the spring, but also the interior. You lose a guy like Grady Jarrett, Eddie Goldman, who was very unique to what this team was trying to do last year, right? I mean, he was more of kind of that sound tree stump style nose guard I always talk about. But you have people to replace them not quite in the same style.
Yeah.
How do you manage that? When you know, how often do you get in with a guy like Jeff Ulbrich and say, hey, okay, what are we looking for? You know what I mean? Obviously, we're looking for explosive guys, but are we looking for penetrating style? Are we looking for guys who can swim move? Or are we looking for guys who can hold the point? How do you kind of balance that? Because let's just call it what it is. You've seen a lot of defensive coordinators over the last 4 years in Atlanta, and you are trying to bring in guys that fit a lot of different systems.
No, you're right. And that's the critical factor. That's really step one. When Jeff Ulbrich gets in the building and Nate Olley and the other coaches get going, we have to sit down with them and go through what the prototype is for each position. What's the best fit? Bringing in a guy like Divine Diablo, if you look at Jeff Ulbrich's with Foye Olukuni, look at his history with linebackers, there's a lot of college safeties that have length and athleticism. There's a specific prototype, and Divine Diablo fit that prototype to a T in terms of the type of linebackers we want here moving forward. Now, with the Caden Ellis's and the J.D. Bertrands and the Troys, those guys still fit, and they can fit what we are, but still moving forward, do you know what your ideal is? The same thing is we had a lot of players here already with Brandon Dorless and TQ Graham and Rook, and we have a lot of guys that are really athletic guys that can get off the ball and do a lot of the things that we want to do. So it's twofold. It's about looking at the players that you have right now, seeing how they fit, but what's that prototype moving forward? And it's been great having those conversations with Brick and Ollie and all the other coaches.
Awesome. Joined by Atlanta Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot here on the morning shift. All right, just in that light, when you draft Jalen Walker, anybody in the first round really, but then you make a move to go back and get James Pierce, that there's expectations that come from outside the building. You know, what for a general manager, what expectations do you have a player when you take that kind of move and that kind of risk? Because we know back in the day when they did it here for Thomas, did it for Julio, but also how do you manage those expectations with the player?
Yeah, well, and honestly, Bo, we don't see it like as a risk. It's a calculated, it's a decision.
Yeah,
right. And when we look at it and using we use next year's first round pick this year to get a pressure player that we have a lot of faith in, and then we got back a third round pick that we got Xavier Watts in with. So we got these two big time pressure players out of college football, and then we got two ball hawks from college football. So when we look at the total picture of what we did and how we put it together, we feel really good about that, but we understand there's always an expectation that comes with everything, and that's why we keep talking about mindset. You have to have players with the same mindset too, because I can sit here and say that we ignore the noise and we don't listen to those things. We just focus on our process and what we're doing, but you have to have players that have that same mindset, and we know those guys that we brought in, they're wired the right way. They're focused on this building right here and doing everything they can do to be effective here. You're talking earlier about the fights, and there's some stuff going on a couple days ago. And, man, you have these really competitive groups that are doing whatever they can do to go out there and battle. And I know a couple coaches have said it. We got to go to that line and not cross that line. You'd rather have guys you got to pull back than guys you got to push. You know, so we'd rather have that. And so we know we'll manage it the right way and make sure we're doing things the right way and protecting our team in those ways. But we love that we have guys that are that passionate and that competitive.
Well, to that light, I mean, I've gotten to spend, you know, good for what I do around the team. And I'm around Bijan and Drake and then even the little bit of time around Penix. It's like they're all the same in a lot of ways. They're all – I mean, the way they interact – they just – I don't know how – and you got them all at eight, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. So I guess you guys – and Jalen Walker from – I don't know a ton about James Pierce. I'm still learning, like I think most of our families. But Jalen Walker to him is almost seems like he's cut from that exact same mold that Penix, Drake, Bijan are.
Yeah, there's a rare consistency to all those players you're talking about. There's a rare maturity to those players as well. You know exactly what you're getting on a day-to-day basis. And because there are some players you bring in that you got to help in areas with life skills, with different things. But with those guys, there is very unique with how mature and consistent they are in everything they do.
Yeah. Finishing up here with Terry Fontenot, Falcons general manager. Just one more thing before we let you go. It's interesting talking to you and how little drama it kind of feels like there is out here, because it is holdout season around the NFL.
Yep.
And we sit here and talk about Terry McLaurin and Micah Parsons and we don't have that situation right now, but how much do you kind of keep your ear to the ground or your eyes peeled? Because you do probably have some extensions coming up when you talk about the Drake Londons, even looking further, you know, the Matthew Bergerons, Bijan Robinsons. How do you kind of keep that, you know, that wind in your sails of like, okay, I know this is coming, and how do you decide to plan for that and kind of see what the NFL landscape is like on that front?
Yep. It's a regular ongoing basis. We study every contract that comes in, and we're always forecasting and looking at how our players specifically are going to fit sure. into that. And so we're always looking, because, you know, when you make a decision to extend a player, you have to look at all the effects, how it affects everybody else on the roster, right. how it's going to affect you in the coming seasons. And we're very transparent with our players and with our agents. Like you said, we have some guys that are really, really good people that fit what we're about, fit our ethos, and they're really good players on the field. So you want to get things done, but we're very transparent with them in the right ways. And so you know that when we really build this thing the right way, it's going to be a norm. You're going to lose some players. Yep. That's just the fact of it, because that's going to be a good problem to have, that we have so many good players that you can't fit them all underneath. But we're honest with players that, hey, you come here, it's our job to give you everything we have and pour into you, and it's your job to go out there and give everything you have so you can be the best you can, and you're either going to make a lot of money here or somewhere else. But that is an ongoing thing, and it does say a lot about the unselfishness of our players, that they're just out there competing, getting ready to play Tampa on 9-7.
I love it. I know that there's been some hints about it from the media of like, yeah. hey, do you pay attention to this? And every single one I've heard is like, absolutely not, man. I'm just really yeah, cool, man. Ball.
Terry, we're going to eat Uncrustables back on the plane.
Chick-fil-A personal, is not good
no, Chick-fil-A. No, Uncrustables is for the room. You got to have a snack late at night, yeah. watching college football all night. You know that.
I know that's his forte, man. But David Bassett is giving me that look, man, so we got to let you go. But appreciate you so much for hanging out with us,
thank
man.
Thank you all so much.
And good luck with everything through the rest of training.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
All right, guys.
Good stuff there from the Atlanta Falcons general manager, Terry Fontenot, breaking it down for the peeps about the plan for not only this season, but beyond, looking towards long-term success. All right, when we get back, we'll get a boots-on-the-ground report from our guy, D-Led. Who did he get a shout-out from today that apparently was hearing the noise? We'll ask D-Led about that and a whole lot more. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas Turtle with you till 10 o'clock. As we say on the radio station, they're always listening, watching, and judging. And we know that the Atlanta Falcons have been doing just that. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. Let's waste no time. Head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our special guest, D. Orlando Ledbetter, D-Led. Make sure you check out his work in the AJC, especially this time of year when you get all of the Falcons training camp reports. D, how did it feel today when Drake London made it known that he was listening to you, my friend, and he shouted you out on the sideline?
Hey, you know, I was cool, man. You know, me and Drake are good. He said, report that stuff, D-Led, because I reported his two drops and his two fumbles the other day. So when he made a great catch, he wanted to make sure I reported that also. That seems fair to me.
Yeah, that was a pretty funny moment there on the sideline. And it helps transition into the main topic I want to talk to you about tonight, and that is this discussion of a physicality, of a presence, of an edge that guys like James Pierce Jr. are setting the tone for the team. You've been covering this team a long time, D. Has this been one of the more physical camps that you remember?
Not really, but, you know, you got to go all the way back to Harvey Dahl and Tyson Clavo, you know, the lineman that, you know, they I'm talking to some of the old guys, they're like, hey, yeah, sometimes that was they just did that to get us a break. You know, under Coach Smith and so forth. So, but it hasn't been that physical, because I mean, it's not two-a-days, they're not as short. Yeah, we had a couple fights, but and they went through halfway through the pads today. So as far as bone crushing, pop hitting, and stuff like that, you know, it's just a different day and time. But we did have a couple fights, and we haven't had them in a while, so that part of it was good to see.
Did you like to see the edge from the rookie James Pierce Jr. getting in the mix early? He's been causing a little bit of buzz around camp.
Oh yeah, no doubt, because you know, he was going a little faster than the veterans wanted him to go this early in camp, you know. But he's trying to show people he's legit, you know, first-round guy. And so, you know, the linemen didn't, you know, they don't take too kindly to the rookie trying to show him up there on the first couple practices. So, you know, they let him know that. And, you know, he was cool about it. Leonard Floyd helped him out. He's got to learn how to practice as a pro is what they were trying to teach him. That was the lesson there. You can still go hard and fast, but, you know, you ain't got to really, you know, jack your teammates, lift them up in the air and all that kind of extra stuff. Some of that was going on. So, you know, a little bit of both. They got an understanding now and look like today had a new kind of flow to it.
When you talk about Leonard Floyd, the vet coming in to help the edge rush, any reason not to believe he won't get his, you know, 8-9 sacks that he usually does?
Yeah, he's done a good job late in his career. You know, he was a high draft pick. But, you know, something happened when he didn't get renewed in Chicago. And ever since then, he's been one of the better pass rushers in the league. So I expect that to continue. And, you know, we'll see if he can match that here in Atlanta.
Talk to us about this kicking battle, D. It seems like both guys are taking it very seriously and both have had strong outings so far.
Yeah, no doubt. Certainly the first day, Craig won that clearly hands down. The ball was booming off of his foot. And then today, Koo had a little bit more pop in his kicks. He had some nice, pretty end-over-end kicks. But both of them missed from 54, which, you know, you need that to be kind of automatic. You know, for your 54 and 55. So, but, you know, there, you know, some technical points. Craig's a little bit further back on his kicks because they take off a little bit lower, which, you know, might be a problem in the NFL. We'll look at that in the exhibition season if he can get his kicks up over the line. But he's certainly got some power behind it. And we'll, you know, just keep an eye on that, you know, in that match up there. But, yeah, he won the first day, and we'll call the second one a draw.
Talking about things to keep an eye on as we're chatting with our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter, make sure you check out his camp reports in the AJC. Anything to glean from Jalen Walker missing a couple of days?
Position coach says he's losing reps. He needs reps. He's learning a new position. And so, you know, but health is, you know, important. They won't say he's injured. They're saying that he's working on something on his body. So I don't know what I looked over there. I couldn't tell what they were trying to work on, you know, footwork or upper body or agility or, you know, whatever. But something happened after the second practice, and he's he's been working through some stuff and trying to get back onto the field.
How's it been watching Kyle Pitts ramp back up?
Yeah, he's getting some moderated practice time. You can tell he's trying really hard. You know, he's going full speed the whole time, which, you know, we can't say that's been the case for him at all times. And, you know, just building up after not having much going on the off season with him as they protected him for the foot injury he had. So just, you know, you kind of got to be hopeful for him. You know, if you want to see him do better, he certainly seems to be on his path along the way. You know, but yeah, it's a wild off. We got a long off season to go here.
Everyone's been obviously so praising Bijan Robinson. D, is it possible he's looking even better than he has?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It's no hesitation in what he wants to do. And I've seen enough. I don't want him cutting out there anymore. I don't want him spinning on people and, you know, doing the double cuts, jump cuts. Yeah, he's got to get ready, but I don't want him. Save some of that for me for September the 7th.
We got a couple of weeks to figure it out. We did hear from Kirk Cousins the other day. Raheem usually doesn't play anybody in the preseason that may play in the regular season, including a backup quarterback due to injury. You think he's going to get any run in the preseason?
Yeah, he'll get probably. I'm just going off of last year, and Penix is 24 snaps. You got maybe get Kurt that 24 and keep it moving in this Detroit game, the first game, and then just shut him down and get ready for the regular season. Get him a couple snaps there in the joint practices and so forth. His plan worked last year. They got off, you know, the Pittsburgh game wasn't worth much, but then after that, you know, they got rolling there. And so whatever, you know, Raheem did last year, he needs to keep and do that again because he's got another tough schedule here to open the season with.
Arthur Blank, owner and chairman, spoke with our good buddy Steve Weishti over the weekend. He wouldn't lay out playoff demands or expectations, but acknowledged that, you know, time is running out here to get things turned around. Do you think there is an internal expectation, maybe even an unspoken one, between upper management?
Yeah, he spoke to us, to the local media, and Ken Segura wrote a nice column about, you know, he just kind of went right down the middle about his expectations. He said the same thing in 22, said the same thing in 23, but he didn't say, you know, playoffs are bust or heads are going to roll, you know. But given what's happened in the past, when expectations have not been met, there's usually some changes in Flowery Branch. So, you know, he holds folks accountable. Even the year when they were the number one seed and got blew out to the Packers, he blew out the coordinators. You know, so he's not a stand pat guy when you don't do absolutely well. That wasn't how he operated in Home Depot, and that's not how he operates with the Falcons. So anything short of, you know, not getting to the playoffs, you know, you probably need to win the division too. But if you do one of those, and if you do both of them, then everybody's going to be in pretty good stead.
When it comes to a couple of more rookies, we were talking about Pierce and Walker earlier. Looks like Xavier Watts was getting in with the ones a little bit. What did you see from him?
Yeah, not much from him. He hadn't impressed me much. I've been focusing more on Fuller. You know, he's in position. You know, you can't really blow stuff back at safety when you're tagging people out. I mean, it's gym class hero type stuff. So we'll see how he does in live actions in the games and in the joint practices. But, you know, we know what he can do. We saw him play at Notre Dame. He's getting acclimated to the NFL. Jesse said he knows what to do. Now he's just taking it to the field. So he's a pretty sharp football player. But, yeah, I don't – you know, people start making grand conclusions off of them playing tag at practice right now. I kind of try to stay away from that until we get some real football. But, yeah, he looks great playing tag right now. He's a pro athlete. Most of them do look great out there playing tag because that's what it is, not football. But, yeah, he's coming along.
To that same effect, the nickelback spot looks like D. Alford is getting the reps with the ones. Is Billy Bowman, you think, still in the mix?
Yeah, he's still in the mix. You know, they got to be slow with that. That's a position change. So, you know, D's probably kind of showing them, you know, how to do it, you know, and he should be picking up some stuff from D. D knows where he's supposed to be and who he's supposed to cover and the assignments and stuff like that. So that's why he's ahead of Bowman at this juncture. But they'll start ramping him up and getting him in there more. He'll get some reps against the twos and threes and, you know, you know, as he gets ready for a new position. At some point, they'll have to throw him out there and see what he can do against some talent. But right now, it seems like they're letting him learn, you know, how that position is played at the National Football League level.
I guess it's usually a good thing when we've gone this long and haven't talked about it. It seems like all is well, at least early on, with Caleb McGarry being the protector for Penix.
Yeah, that's not – see, they're not looking at it as that because they're in the pistol and they're, you know, in the shotgun. So they're like, he's not a blindside tackle. But I'm like, I don't believe that because when he turns his back, he's the blindside tackle. So – you know, Caleb has struggled against elite speed, so, you know, it's something to keep an eye on. But, you know, they think because of formationally, you know, it's not a blind side, so to speak. You know, if you're under center a lot, then yeah, but I mean, they're going to be running 11 out of shotgun and pistol. And so Zach Robinson and Raheem don't look at him as a blind side tackle, neither does Ledford. So I don't know where everybody's – I know where it's come from because I've been harping on it too. I'm like, if he's the blind side tackle, you probably got issues. But they plan to attack straight ahead out of the pistol and the a shotgun, and that's they believe that minimizes that whole old concept of the blindside tackle.
All right, fair enough. Well, with that said, how has Neusel looked? Has he been adjusting as the starter just fine?
Yeah, he's just fine. You know, you see him climbing, you see him on his double teams and getting to the second level, which is what he did, you know, last year. He's laterally, he can get inside and out. I want to see him in one-on-one in the bull rushes. Kurt said he can anchor, and he said he said that's the best thing to a quarterback is that, hey, if that center can anchor up the middle and control the bull rush, you know, then you are, you know, you got time to look down the field. You're not going to be, you know, worried about anybody coming up through there. So they said he can do that. He's doing that well in practice thus far, and we'll get to see him against some pretty good tackles there from Tennessee when they come to town.
Great stuff, D. Appreciate the time. As always, we'll check you out in the AJC, and we'll talk soon.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Turtle. Have a great evening.
All right. That is the great D. Orlando Ledbetter there giving us the scope and the skinny from Flowery Branch. Not as physical as it was back in my day, Oren Romaine, but we'll take it. Nonetheless, that was a funny answer from D. I always appreciate his candor there. And if you talk to him on the sidelines of practices, you get some gems there as well. All right, when we get back, let's talk some college football, shall we? We'll react to Dion's press conference and a whole lot more. We'll welcome in our good buddy Bill Bender, senior writer of the Sporting News. Always love getting his college football perspective. We'll do that next to start a busy, busy 8 o'clock hour halfway home on a Tuesday. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.